الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث برحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
The last time we were discussing the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we got to the point where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had decided and he got the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate. He got the permission of doing the hijrah. And we also mentioned that anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, prophets in general, they are not allowed to make any decisions without getting the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave permission to Sahaba to migrate, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for his order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. At that time, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night that he was leaving, he put Ali radiallahu anhu in his place, in his house, in his bed. And he went forth to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's house. And when he got there, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "I have to discuss something very important with you." And he narrated the whole matter. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was extremely happy. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I've been waiting for this. Ya Rasulullah, I've been waiting for this." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Abu Bakr, what makes you wait? And how did you know that you are going to accompany me? And how is it that I was going to choose you to be my companion for this hijrah and for this migration on this trip?" Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we all know his closeness with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had an amazing attachment with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing attachment. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he tells Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, I've seen a dream that I'm going to be accompanying you. I've seen a dream that I'm going to be accompanying you. And on top of that, Ya Rasulullah, I've noticed that you gave permission to everyone to migrate, but you didn't give me permission. So when I saw every time I would come to you for permission, you would always reject me. I figured I know why you're rejecting me." So I figured, "Ya Rasulullah, I know that I was going to come with you." So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was prepared. Subhanallah, his love with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went on further saying, "Ya Rasulullah, in fact, I also made preparations. I bought these two camels and I have fed them well. I have taken care of them. I have made sure that these camels are such that they will lead us and take us all the way to Medina without stopping, without having any problems." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely happy, was extremely delighted. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Abu Bakr, I'm extremely happy that you're coming with me, but under one condition, and that is that you take the money for one of the camels that you have prepared for me." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, how is that possible? I'm not leaving anything behind in my house. I'm emptying out my whole house, everything that I have with me, all of my belongings, all of my wealth. I'm taking everything. Now you expect me to take the money for you from the camel? That's not possible." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can't do something like this. I feel ashamed." Now you can imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being so careful that when somebody was doing something for him, he always had that in mind, that he didn't just want to take a favor without any reason. And you'll see many examples of this in the seerah, that subhanAllah, even though his status was so high, He never considered himself, okay, I'm the Prophet and you people are Sahaba, so you do all the work and I'll just sit back. Once Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accompanying some Sahaba, they went on a journey, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was time for dinner, it was time to eat. So one Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a goat, so I'll slaughter the goat. The other Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I will cook it. The other one, he said, then I would prepare and get everything ready. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, but what's left for me? I need to do something too. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you going to do something? We'll take care of everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then I will go in the woods and gather the food, gather the wood so we can burn the fire. So I'll take care of that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his noble habit, that he never felt that he was greater than anyone else. Sahaba say that he was just like amongst us. In his presence, we used to fear him, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never used to be in that situation. And where Sahaba used to feel intimidated by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking that, you know, we should fear him because we need to fear him. They feared him out of respect for him. Once a woman came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she asked him some questions, and the way how she was talking to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam figured that she had this type of fear in her tone. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmed her down. He said, "You don't need to worry. I'm just a son of another person. I am nothing else more than that." Subhanallah, his humility was of that level, that even though he was the greatest human being, the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this was how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his character and his akhlaq. And again, this is a lesson that we learn from the seerah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever we go anywhere, or whenever we're traveling, and there's only one person who's driving, or it's that person's car, it is our responsibility for those people who are accompanying him, that we also ask that person, especially if you're going on a long journey, you also make sure that you pay on your behalf for whatever, you know, whatever the gas money is, whatever it is. This is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we learn from here, when we're going together somewhere in a restaurant and there's 5-6 people, we should be the ones who shouldn't just come on that one person. Okay, now when it comes to pay, everyone's looking at each other's pocket. You should do your part. If everyone does their part, number one, everyone would feel at ease. And we learn this from the seerah. Everyone would feel at ease. Number two, no one would feel, okay, you know, when people would leave, when we would be done, no one would feel, okay, no, you know, why did I have to take care of it? I don't want to go. That hard feelings will never take place if everyone, but it's a different story when a person, he says from before, no, you know, the treat's on me, it's a different story. But when we all just go, people just go together, and then when it comes to pay, everyone's waiting, who's going to take out their credit card? And eventually one person has to take it out, but he doesn't really want to take it out. So we learn from the sunnah that everyone should just chip in, so that way their hearts are clear. Now, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts his journey with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As they leave Makkah, I mentioned this in the last session as well. As they were leaving, it was during the night time. A person came as they were leaving and he recognized Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He couldn't make out the face of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it was so dark outside. Obviously, they didn't have street lamps that we have nowadays. So he asked Abu Bakr, "Abu Bakr, who's this with you?" Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in this situation, in this dilemma. He didn't know what to say because he was known as to be a Siddiq, person who is always truthful, he never lies. On one hand is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can he lie and say, yes, this is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But at the same time, he doesn't want to disclose who he is because people knew they were after him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said to that person that he is my guide. He is my guide. Now this person, he thought, but meaning he's my guide, that this person is leading him towards the way, or he's guiding him wherever he's going. But in fact, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had in mind, he's my guide who's taking me to Sirat al-Mustaqim, leading me towards Jannah. That person has something else in mind, but obviously Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had something else in mind. And this is something what we call tawriyah in the Arabic language. And according to Sharia, tawriyah basically means that you use a certain word or you say a certain phrase, but you mean something else, abstaining from lying. And we will also find this in Quran al-Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word a few times. وَهُمْ لَكُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, when Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was just an infant, during that time, we know, we don't want to go into details, but Fir'aun was after all of the boys of Bani Israel, and he was killing all of them, executing every single one of them. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam miraculously ended up in Fir'aun's palace. When he saw him at first, he also had this in mind that we need to also kill him. But when his wife, Fir'aun's wife, came to Fir'aun, and she said, no, we need to keep him. وَهُمْ لَكُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, that she said, obviously, that this person, this boy is going to be someone who is going to take care of it, and you'll feel coolness of your eyes through this person. Now, she said this, Musa and Fir'aun, he thought that this is what she's referring to, but in reality, it was referring to لَكُمْ لَهُ نَاسِحُونَ, that he's going to be a coolness, not just for you, but for your people, for Bani Israel in general, those people who are under his slavery. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to say through the words of Fir'aun's wife. So these words, tawriyah, is something that is allowed in Sharia as long as there is no lying concern. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he starts his journey, the next morning, those people who were by the house of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were waiting for Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out from his house. But nobody came out. As I mentioned, that these people, they got together in a place called Darul Nadwa. And over there, they decided that this is what we're going to do. We're going to, na'udhu billah, kill Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they chose a youth from each and every single tribe of Quraysh and around of Makkah, which were around Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house. But miraculously, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the house. He opened the door. Those people were standing there. And he came out reciting Surah Yasin. And he got to that point, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّ فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ We had covered their eyes. They couldn't see. Even though Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went right by them, they couldn't see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, this was a miracle of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, this is something that we learn from the seerah, that at any time we are in a situation or in this dilemma or in distress, if you have to go somewhere, if you're traveling and you're worried, you have this concern, then these ayahs, the beginning ayahs of Surah Yasin, are very helpful. The beginning ayahs of Surah Yasin are extremely helpful. Along with Surah Yasin, Surah Quraysh is also very helpful. Surah Quraysh, li'ina fi Quraysh, reciting that three times, and before it, saying the durood and sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After reciting this is also very helpful. So anyways, the next morning when they saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come out, finally they went inside the house of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they saw that Ali radiallahu anhu is in the place of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked Ali, where is he? Ali radiallahu anhu said, I don't know. They went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's house. Asma, the daughter of Bakr radiallahu anhu, opens the door. She's only 8 years old. Abu Lahab, he asks her, where is your father? Subhanallah, amazingly, even the kuffar of Makkah, they also knew how close Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when they saw that he's not there, right away they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They didn't go anyone else, they didn't go to anybody else's house. They knew the connection. They knew how close Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asma radiallahu anha opens the door, and Abu Lahab asks her that, where is your father? And she says, I don't know where he is. And in reality, she didn't know exactly where her father was either. So again, tawriyah was used. Abu Lahab, he got so upset that it comes in the books of seerah that Asma radiallahu anhu, she had earrings in her ears, and when he slapped her so hard on her right cheek that the earring of the left ear fell, and it fell really far through because of that slap. Now Abu Lahab was extremely upset, because this is what they planned and it wasn't successful. Abu Lahab, he got everyone together and they decided whoever can bring Prophet sallallahu, whoever can find Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever can find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then they decided a reward of 100 camels. Now 100 camels, realistically speaking, in our terminology would be like 100 cars. That's the reward. I mean, that's the value they had for 100 camels was equivalent to 100 cars. You can imagine how high the reward was in order to get the against Abu Bakr and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as Abu Bakr, on the other hand, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as they start the journey, they leave Makkah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered his son Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and his slave Amir ibn Fuhayra, who was a slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he also told his daughter Asma radiallahu anhu. Now there are three people involved. There are three people involved in order to aid and help Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam get to Medina. Obviously, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was accompanying him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr, that you come and every day give us the news. As we're traveling over there, they're about to station. We all know at that famous cave known as Cave Thor. As they were getting over there, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr that your task is to give us and gather all the information of what the people of Makkah are doing and what they're saying about us, and give us that news every day. Amir ibn Fuhayra, your task is, as we are going, our footprints. Subhanallah, look at how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the details to make sure that these people, they don't find. He said, the footprints of our footprints and of our animals. What you do is that as we are walking, then you take your sheep and your goat and go over those footprints again, so they won't be able to track us down and know where we are. And Asma radiallahu anha, her task and her duty was to bring food for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to the cave. She was only 8 years old. So this was how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, if you look at it, all three people were all connected to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. All three of them were connected to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, as they reached this cave, the cave was on a high place. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he starts climbing the cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu notices that as he starts to climb, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's fingers, they start to bleed and they start to crack. Anas radiallahu anhu says about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, that I have never touched or felt a softer hand, even softer than silk, than the hand of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can imagine, as he started climbing the cave, his fingers started to break and they started to crack, and some blood started oozing out from the fingers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he saw that, he couldn't tolerate that. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, don't climb the cave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, then I'm going to stay here? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, no, in fact, why don't you come on my back and I will carry you up the cave. Now you can imagine, for those of us who have seen the cave, it still exists, you have some parts of it, you can see it's really high. It's not low, it's very high. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has his own weight. Now the weight of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, you can imagine. And now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he carries the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his back all the way up towards the cave. Now, as they reach the top, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he tells Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, don't go inside the cave yet. just wait outside. Let me go inside. We don't know how old this cave is, how many people have been in here, what is this? Let me go scout it out, make sure it's okay. There is no animals, there is no insects, nothing of these things. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes inside the cave. He checks, he sees everything. There's no holes, there is no animals, there's nothing of those sort. Then he permits Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come inside. Now, before we go on further, we can well understand that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with being with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his love for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most important part of this incident of the seerah, of the hijrah, is the love of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is one of the biggest lessons that we learn from the seerah of how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to that level of respecting and understanding who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And this is something for us to inculcate within us as well. Anyways, obviously there's always people who object to Sahaba, those people who reject Sahaba, who don't have that same love, who don't have that same thing for Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Somebody objected and he said, so what was so great about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu carrying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his back? And the way how he mentioned it was, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also used a conveyance of a donkey. He also went on a horse. He also went on a camel. He went on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So what's the difference? Degrading Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But amazingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever these types of questions and objections are raised, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires certain people to give answers accordingly as well. One scholar, he gave a beautiful answer. He said, yes, it is true. It is true that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a donkey as a conveyance. He used a camel, he used a horse. So, but the fact of the matter is, the donkey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of all donkeys. The camel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best camel. The horse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best horse. And the human being that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed, he was the best human being. You can't get anyone like this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he calls Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously they have journeyed so far and for so long. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes inside the cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sees fatigue, he sees tiredness, he sees exhaustion on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. He sees and he can make out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to rest. So he offers Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah, we don't have anything where you can lay down. So ya Rasulullah, please lay down and put your blessed head in my lap. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he agrees and he puts, subhanallah, you can imagine how amazing that is, that having the blessed head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lap. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to sleep, he falls asleep. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sleeping, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, obviously he sees Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sleeping, he doesn't want to move, he doesn't want to do anything that can disturb him. But out of one of the holes of that cave, a snake took out his face. He started peeping out from one of the holes. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's in this dilemma, he doesn't know what to do. Either I wake up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, ya Rasulullah, please get up, there's a snake there. Or what should I do? Now, I'm just reminding us for ourselves that what extent that he went to in order to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, yeah, no, I cannot wake up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can't do something like this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he takes his heel of his foot and he puts it in that hole just to cover it up so that snake won't come out. Now as he covers his heel and he puts that heel over there in that hole, the snake now starts biting Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was healed. Now you can imagine the pain that he's going through. Continuously this pit, the snake wants to come out, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu just stopping it. He's not moving, but he's obviously turning red. You can imagine the pain he's going through. But at the same time, he doesn't want to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's going through all that pain. Now, out of pain, tears start coming out from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's eyes. Now, he doesn't want to move, but as the tears are coming out, one of those tears, they fall on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wakes up. He sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's face. It's all red. Abu Bakr, why are you crying? Why are you in pain? You know, what happened? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know there's a snake over there, and I covered my foot. Well, I didn't want to wake you up, and the snake is continuously biting me. But I didn't feel like waking you up, Ya Rasulullah. I couldn't do something like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his blessed saliva and he put it on the heel of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and miraculously through that blessing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saliva was so powerful that it healed and cured Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu right on the spot. Again, this was his connection with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now as they're in this cave, the Kuffar of Makkah, they have been given and they are informed that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu have left Makkah, but they didn't know exactly where they were. It just so happened that they started walking, and they left Makkah, and they in fact they even reached that cave Thawr, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were, and in fact they even got to the mouth of that cave. They even got to the mouth of that cave. They reached on top of that cave just to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put the spider over there, and a spider made its web over there and covered the mouth of that cave. Now, when the Kuffar of Makkah, they got up to the mouth and they saw there was a spider's web, automatically they realized that this cave is probably very old. Nobody has been in here for a while. Obviously, when you see spider web, you know that this place has not been used for a long time. But subhanAllah, that spider web was just put on that particular spot right there and then. They got up to the mouth, and it comes in the books, in the Sahih, and in the authentic narrations, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes on to that extent of telling Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, they have gone up to the mouth and they have gone so far that they are looking at me. Ya Rasulullah, they are looking at me. My eyes are mixing with their eyes. My eyes are touched with their eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Abu Bakr, don't worry about it. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayahs of Quran. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. SubhanAllah, this ayah is so powerful. This ayah is so powerful that if a person just contemplates, if we just contemplate over this ayah, it's something to wake our iman up, really. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sends the ayah, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. If you're not going to help Allah, if you're not going to help him, help who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already helped him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already helped him. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When the kuffar of Makkah, they took them out. From where? From Makkah. They made them leave Makkah. ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. Now amazingly, if we just look at the words of Quran over here, ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from amongst the two, ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, that he was the second from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that he was a second person, referring to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was the second from him. What does that mean? The Mufassirin rahmatullahi alayhi, they explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say ithnaini minhuma. It's a thani ithnaini. Thani ithnain, the second from him, basically means that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he was a replica of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thani ithnain, ithhuma fil ghar, when they were in that cave. The replica of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as if he is a duplicate of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thani ithnaini ithhuma fil ghar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on by saying, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. When, لِصَاحِبِهِ, when he said, who said? His companion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word sahib for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this was something, this privilege was given to no other sahabi except for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word sahib for, as a companion, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wa yaqulu li sahibihi la tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana. There are two words which are very similar, but they have two different meanings. One is la tahzan, tahzan, and one is la takhaf. Khawf means fear, and tahzan means to have grief. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word la takhaf, when that word is used, that basically means having fear of your own self. Having fear of your own self. And la tahzan means not having fear of your own self, but having fear for someone else. Just the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Qasas to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, لا تخافي ولا تحزني إن رادوه إليك وجعلوه من المرسلين. That don't have any fear. Fear, don't, make sure you don't fear. Meaning, don't worry about it for your own self, and don't worry about Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. لا تحزن. لا تحزن means fearing about somebody else. Now, amazingly, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala used the word إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. When the companion he said لا تحزن, don't fear, not about myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating that look, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he saw those kuffar of Makkah looking at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he didn't fear himself. He wasn't afraid about himself. He was afraid about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La tahzan, inna Allaha ma'ana. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Abu Bakr, don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about me. Even though Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the words la tahzan because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he didn't care about himself, he cared about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Now, very similar ayah to this. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he left, we all know the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. When Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he left with Bani Israel from Fir'aun, and they left and they ran away from Fir'aun. They reached the river and now they were stuck. They didn't know what to do. The river is in front of them. They can hear the army of Fir'aun behind them. Bani Israel, they ask, Musa, what are we supposed to do now? Who's going to help us? At that time, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Don't worry about it. My Lord, He is with me, He will help me. On the other hand, in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not say, Inna ma'ya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just with me. Inna Allaha ma'ana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Showing us how amazing not only Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's connection with Allah ta'ala, but also Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is not just with me, He's with both of us. And on the hand, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. Again, showing us the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, as 3 days and three nights they spent in that cave, 3 days and three nights. And as they were leaving, in fact, before they got to that cave, there was a person by the name of Suraqah ibn Malik. Suraqah ibn Malik, he also went out with this in mind and capturing Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, he heard about that reward. He also wanted to benefit from that reward. If he can get a hand on the hand of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it just so happened that he saw Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, Sulaqa ibn Malik, as he's coming closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they see him coming. Sulaqa sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns around and he says, "Sulaqa, stop right there." Sulaqa ibn Malik continued. He didn't stop. He continued. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again warned him, "Sulaqa, stop right there. Don't go on further." Sulaqa ibn Malik did not listen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it for the third time. And when he said it the third time, Sulaqa ibn Malik, as he was riding on a horse, his horse started to sink in the ground. As it started to sink in the ground, Sulaqa, he said, "Muhammad, he wasn't a Muslim. Please forgive me. I won't do it again. I would go back." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, this was his akhlaq. This is what we learn from the seerah. And this is something that we need to inculcate within us. A person who's coming after him, who's willing to capture him, who's willing to take him back, and he knows that if he captures him, he's going to go back, he's going to be killed. And now a person like him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with one utterance, "Please forgive me," the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without thinking of anything, he says, "Okay, you're forgiven." Now imagine, if we were in that situation, okay, now we can take benefit. Now how much money are you going to give me before I forgive you? You know, right away our minds goes towards credit cards and towards money. Sallallahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Sulaqa, don't worry about it." Now Sulaqa, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives him, the ground stops sinking. Now he comes out, and as he's leaving again, the 100 camels come back in his mind. "Let me try it again." So he turns around, and he comes after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the second time. And again, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him, Sulaqa stopped, and Sulaqa did not listen, and the earth starts to swallow him again. And again, as he sees this, he said, "Ya Muhammad, please forgive me. I won't do it again." Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Rahmatul lil alameen." "So okay, you're forgiven, but don't do it again." He's leaving, he comes back for the third time. 100 camels, can't let go. Comes back for the third time. And again, the same situation takes place. And again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgives him without saying anything. And this time, Sulaqa ibn Malik, he realized that now I shouldn't be doing this, because if I do this again, I'm really going to go in the ground. And he said to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, "Please, whatever you tell me, I'm willing to do." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that what you need to do is, if when you do go back, make sure you don't tell the kuffar of Makkah about our whereabouts, of where we are and what we're planning to do. Please do not let that, and if you do, then something else is going to happen to you. So Sulaqa ibn Malik, he said, "Ya Rasulullah," he didn't accept Islam, but he said, "Muhammad, okay, if that's the case, I will do that, but I would like you to do something for me as well, and that is that if you do happen to become that prophet which you are saying, and you do come back to Mecca, please, I want you to write a letter for me, to write something that I will also be protected and I will be under you, and you won't hurt me if you become the prophet and become the leader of Makkah." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave Sulaqa ibn Malik something in writing, and that was the end of that. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they continued on with their journey, finally they reached Madinatul Munawwara, but the main roads where normally people would take to go from Mecca to Medina, that road was not used, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not use those roads. He used some other roads. Obviously, he knew that if he used those roads, somewhere on the line, somebody might come, somebody may see them. So it took them a little bit longer to reach Medina to Munawwara. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to Medina, obviously, we mentioned that the Sahaba of Medina, they were many of them already accepted Islam, so they were waiting for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come. Now amazingly, many Sahaba, many of the Ansar and Medina, they did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Abu Bakr and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Madinatul Munawwara, people started running after them, but they didn't know who was Abu Bakr and who was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, all of them, they mistakenly went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu thinking that he was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, for us to realize how close he resembled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they made that mistake that he is the Prophet of Allah and they thought this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But miraculously, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't say anything. Not because he felt, okay, now, you know, they should come respect me. Not because of that. He realized, again, out of respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had in his mind that, you know, we've been traveling for so long, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is tired. Now all these people come rushing after him. He doesn't want to meet all these people now. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu thought, okay, let me meet all these people and later on I'll tell them that, no, this is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can rest. But it comes in the books of Sirah that as Rasulullah sallallahu, as these people are coming to meet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, thinking that he is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the time they got to Medina, it was midday and it was really hot and it was sunny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously, he covered a cloud over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's when the Ansar, the Sahaba, realized that this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Imagine how close he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, the reason why I'm repeating this is so that we can understand how close we need to be. I mean, how far are we from having that love for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared to Sahaba? Our love for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is probably not even a percent of what Sahaba had for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And believe me, it is through this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he reached such high status. It was none other, it was nothing else except for that love he had, that composure he had, that thing he had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of having the same love for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of inculcating all of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam within our lives and become walking, talking examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات. آخر دعوانا الحمد لله. If anyone has a question, please.
Next week on Sunday, the times are going to change. So what is Salatul Jum'ah going to be?
Salatul Jum'ah, from what we had last year, was 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. So the first one was at 1, the second one is at 2. So most likely it would probably be the same timings.
So with the time change, are we also going to move our sessions after Maghrib, or still going to be after Isha?
It's still going to be after Isha. Isha will still be 7:45.
No, after the 1 hour back.
After the time?
Yeah.
We'll see, inshallah. Yes. Before Prophet. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to Aisha, Khadija radiallahu anha, when he was 25. And he became a prophet. Aisha radiallahu anha was there. When he reached Medina. At that time, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, at that time Aisha radiallahu anha was only 4 or 5 years old. Asma radiallahu anha was 8.
Regarding the Qurbani, if we are sending money to India or Pakistan for Qurbani, is that sufficient for us, or are we living here in Canada?
The question is regarding Qurbani, slaughtering, that if we send the money over there and they do the slaughtering for us over there, is that okay? Is that possible? It is possible under the condition that they slaughter the animal after our Eid prayer, not after their Eid prayer. Because they're going to be performing their Eid prayer before us. So once we perform the Eid prayer, then you would have to call them, inform them that our Eid prayer is done, then they are allowed to slaughter over there.
We don't have any control if we are giving them some charity, so we don't know where they are.
Then your qurbani won't get done. It has to be done after your Eid prayer. So you would have to make sure of that.
So is that sufficient for us?
Yes, it is.
And
as long as is done after your Eid prayer, then it's okay, yes.
Okay, and how about the money we are paying here, the difference of money we are paying here and there?
The money doesn't matter. It's the animal.
Okay.
So if it's cheaper over there, then that's fine. You're getting a discount. In fact, in Qurbani, see the whole thing about, inshallah, the guest speaker will be talking about this tomorrow in the program, but the main thing about sacrifice, why do we call it sacrifice? It's a reminder of the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he was about to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's the actual sunnah. The sacrifice is that the main sunnah is that we should have an animal where we bring up, we have an attachment, we feed it, we bring it up, and when it reaches that age where you have such a close attachment, that's when you offer the sacrifice. It's not you just pick up any animal, okay, I like this one to slaughter it. That's not actual sacrifice. That's the actual sacrifice when you have that attachment. Now obviously, we have our restrictions, we can't have animals and cows and sheep in our backyard, so we can't do something like this. Back home, obviously, it is possible. Over here, it's not. Now, in our situation, what is the best thing? In our situation, alhamdulillah, all of us are in a position where all of us can are in a position where we can afford to buy animals, and we eat meat on a daily basis. Now, in our situation, the best thing would be to get the sacrifice done over there and feed those people who don't get to eat. Believe me, people are the poor people. They wait. And they probably eat meat only once a year, and that is because of this. So this would probably be the best thing, that we do our sacrifice over there or tell somebody else to do it over there on our behalf and distribute the meat amongst the poor. Alhamdulillah, we get it, over there they don't get it.
For Halloween, I don't go trick-or-treating, but I have some Muslim friends that go trick-or-treating, and they say it's just for the candy. Can you do that, or...?
I think everyone goes to trick-or-treating just for the candy. You see, as far as trick-or-treating is concerned, we mentioned that about in Jummah as well and yesterday in our session. Not only just trick-or-treating, any festival. It could be Christmas, it could be Halloween, it could be Easter, any festival. Totally, we are not allowed to celebrate, we're not allowed to participate. Whether it be dressing up, whether it be going for trick-or-treating, to that extent that even if people come to our house and they knock at our door, we're not even allowed to give them candy because we're also participating. So any type of participation in any of these festivals are totally haram and totally forbidden.
Okay.
If it is a religious festival, if it has nothing to do with religious, like Canada Day or anything which has nothing to do with religion, then
right, then it's okay.
Then the
as long as it's within the limits of the Sharia.
Is everybody required to like do qurbani like physically? Like actually do the qurbani?
Is it mandatory to do the actual qurbani physically? You don't have to do it. You don't have to be the actual one. So if you're the one who is slaughtering your own animal, if you want to do that, that is the preferable thing to do. But if somebody else does it on your behalf, then that's fine too. A lot of people, that's not their cup of tea of slaughtering animals. And in fact, those people who don't have the habit, they can't do it. So they tell somebody else to do it, so that's fine. Like I said, inshallah, tomorrow, a lot of details will be mentioned about this, about qurbani. And so inshallah, try to attend to this program. It's very beneficial. Normally, when it comes to these types of programs, qurbani especially, we feel that, it's related to the story of Ibrahim wasalam, and we just have to slaughter an animal. There's more to that as well. There's much more to that as well. Normally, when it comes to Eid al-Fitr, we're looking forward to it because, Ramadan is over, now we can... And Eid al-Adha is not really a big deal, but there is a lot of importance of Eid al-Adha as well. which maybe we may not know. Inshallah, we can learn about that tomorrow. Okay, inshallah, we do. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا فتنة المسيح الدجال واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين والأبرار بالإيمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في ديننا ودنيانا وآخرتنا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم توفنا مسلما والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم اجعل قبورنا روضة من رياض الجنة ولا تجعلها حفر من حفر النار اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم احشرنا يوم القيامة مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم أدخلنا الجنة بغير حساب اللهم انصر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.